off is the direction you can f***.
Find out why WWE talents are upset with The Rock. Search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
McMannequin, the British Bulldog, is part of the new generation.
You may all bow before King Mabel!
Yes, here comes the jackknife!
On lives the new generation and the World Wrestling Federation!
Welcome, everyone, to the Cultaholic Classic Raw review. As the Fiend says, let me in. Fans of Monday Night Raw say, let me out. We chronologically critique. Thank you, OSW Review. Monday Night Raw from its very beginning to its bitter end or one of ours. Who be we? I be Fake Geordie, radio presenter without portfolio, former Cultaholic Heavyweight Champion Tom Campbell, with the bear in the big blue bar cage, Titan Shrugged, the head pen of Cultaholic. Doesn't need a pencil. He gets it right every single gosh darn time. It's Justin Henry, and he is off of America.
All Elite, baby.
Hey, boom!
or is it All Elite Maybay?
Oh, it's looking what another feisty week on getting underway here in the world of the wrestling with Adam Cole. Like, let's touch on the Adam Cole thing before we go back to the past. What an administrative fuck up from WWE.
Well, I mean, he could stay. We don't know.
He could, but the fact that they got to July and they went I thought his contract finished in December. No, it ran out last week.
Oh. Well, you know, maybe he had a medical emergency in Atlanta that he had to tend to. Then perhaps an English partner of his could point out to the world champion.
How appropriate.
This is parallels.
He could have done, and I said this, I said we came so close to Adam Cole doing a Luger on AEW. It's not like he's not without mates there, you know? Mm. He could have done a Luger, but he's been a sensible human being and played the game properly. Fair play to him. But
are you implying that Adam Cole's going to land in a helicopter and slam Roman Reigns?
Yeah, oh, that would be.
I'll be your baby.
That would be a very special day. A very special day.
Only if him and Britt do the Rock and Mick thing, or Rock and Adrian thing.
May have spat drink. It's a good start.
I just want you to do one thing for me. What's that? Mayor. Win! Go over!
Oh, I don't think he'll stay. You know? I think he'll go. I think he sees more prospect over the other side, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a big AEW fan, but even I gotta admit, it's getting a little bit full in that company. I think what they really have to do is, and I think Tony Khan may be leaning toward this anyway, is implement a sort of new territory system. We use Impact, we use PWG, we use MLW, we use Ring of Honor, we use New Japan. Spread things out a little bit so that, you know, we create a real wrestling system again. While WWE, they say, oh, we're not wrestling. Well, you're right. That's why the wrestlers are leaving.
Yeah, you can do what you do, and we'll do what we do. That's exactly. Fine. That's a nice... I wondered whether, especially when you mentioned like AEW is getting full, is WWE's plan really maybe just to overstuff AEW with their talent? It's like, well, you like donuts? Have every donut in the world.
Well, wasn't WWE overstuffed for a while?
It was like ravioli. And and look how that worked out for everybody involved. There was a lot of bloated and unsatisfied people.
We returned to Futon and found Eric Young.
WWE looking like an episode of Hoarders for a while. And I'm very concerned that you know, maybe they're trying to overstuff AEW. But we can't linger this long on.
I think Khan has the plan for that, which is you have these partnership organizations because Tony's built all these friendships.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's what you're going to end up doing is maybe NWA gets maybe they get, just for instance, Andrade for a bit. Maybe nice. New Japan gets Mox for a little while.
Where would you send Bray Wyatt?
Impact.
Yes. I like that a lot. What an interesting time to be a wrestling fan. What a really interesting time to be a wrestling fan.
I think this could be the new normal.
Do you know what? It very well could be. But let's wind our clocks back, Justin and I, to the old normal from 1995. Yes, we must. We're taking a look back at Monday Night Raw every week in succession, and we are currently deep in the new generation era, and something is on the horizon that is going to change everything. Let's talk about some of the things from this particular week in the wrestling world before Justin Henry from Off of America talks us through the rigors of this week's episode of Monday Night Raw. Where and when are we for this week's Raw, Justin?
It is a taped show airing Monday, August 20th. I wish it was a Wednesday show because that is the night for wrestling these days. Monday, August 21st, 1995. This is from the Auditorium in Worcester, Mass.
Worcester, Massachusetts. So what's happening in the wrestling world whilst WWF is in Worcester, Mass? Well, WCW is getting ready for Nitro. A bit of an update on that, which is, oh, mate, we are weeks away from the debut of Monday Nitro. 4th of September is the date where WCW will bring their new Monday Night offering live from the Mall of America. We know a bit of the card. We know we're going to see Jushin Liger versus Brian Pillman. We're going to see Ric Flair versus Sting. And we're going to see Hulk Hogan versus Bubba Rogers in the main event.
Well, Hogan's always had chemistry with Bubba. You want to give him a knockaround guy to beat.
There was talk for a while that we were going to see Hogan and Orndorff in the main event.
As I pointed out before, they swapped out one Saturday Night's main event cage match opponent of Hogan's for another.
Yeah, that's true. You did say that. The original plan of taping 3 hours every Monday, with the first 2 hours being the next week's Saturday show and the third hour live, that's been changed. Saturday show is going to continue to be taped at Center Stage in advance, and the early part of the Monday taping will be taped for the international version of the TNT network. The second taping, which is at the Knight Center in Miami on the 11th, is going head-to-head with a Raw show taped in Canton, Ohio. So that's going to be an interesting time to go up against a taped episode of Monday Night Raw. And it looks
That taping, let me just tell you ahead of time, that may have been smaller than that Liberty New York High School that we saw back in December.
Is it an even smaller venue?
You can see the pencil graffiti on the walls from the hard camera side.
Oh, no.
Not literally, but it's building.
Well, that's going to be hilarious. And we already know the card that WCW putting up against the small graffitied Monday Night Raw room. We're going to see, apparently, Arn Anderson and Brian Pillman, Scott Norton and Randy Savage, Sting versus Mike Rotundo, who may be reverting to Michael Wall Street. Oh, apparently, we could be seeing a tag team formed between Big Bubba Rogers and Mike Rotundo. Did you know about them lads forming a team?
If I do, it's a vague memory, but they would join a certain group about a year from now.
They would indeed. But before that, there's talk of them becoming a team called the CPA, the Certified Public Assassins. Imagine them lads coming for you. One for the paperwork and one for the muscle.
Well, I mean, keep in mind, you know, one of them is the father of Satan and the other one was an ex-prison guard.
Actually, yeah, that's a good shout. It's a terrifying prospect. A very terrifying prospect.
IRS and the Omen.
We will also apparently see Sabu versus Alex Wright on that show
that,
as well.
That did happen.
That did happen because Sabu is one of those names that is in conversation with WCW at this point. Some have signed already on the dotted line to be a part of the show. We know that Chris Benoit, Dean Malenko, and Eddie Guerrero are signing up to be a part of this new company, expected to be on 90-day contracts from October. Sabu scheduled to start with them in Anderson, SC. On the 21st. So now it's basically today in time of our recording. Too Cold Scorpio apparently coming in at this point.
Nope,
none on that. Adam Bomb in conversation. Brian Clark apparently.
Eventually.
Looking to come in at this point. Yeah, he just, as we talked about last week, upset with his current place in the WWF. He's told Vince he is away. And here's that other name again, that one name that we're going to be bouncing around quite a bit, Lex Luger. All week long, Luger has been in the news as a longtime best friend of Sting. Sting is lobbying to get him back in the company. Now, it says here in The Observer, technically, his WWF contract expires in mid-October.
Nope.
That's not true, is it?
No, they'll retract that later on once the truth is found out.
Exactly. That's what I thought that might be the case. Mm. I wasn't, because I thought that's a strange, because that's surely not going to be, yeah, because like the whole thing was that his contract was up, so he came over. But well, I thought I'd bring that with you. I thought if anyone's going to know their way around that, it's going to be you.
Yeah, Lex's deal had in fact expired long before and had been in negotiations with Vince for a new deal because he wanted certain concessions, including the ability to do stuff outside of wrestling, like in bodybuilding and such, and just. Look, it never got done. It just fell through the cracks and never got done. And Lexus got tired of, he was being paid whatever he would have made on his old deal per nightly, whatever. And eventually he just reached out to Sting and says, hey, I'm technically a free agent.
Any chance of letting me through the door, sir? And this exciting thing happening.
And Bischoff was torn because on the one hand, hey, that'd be a big surprise for the first Nitro. And on the other, I don't like Lex Luger.
You got to let your pocket lead your mind there, haven't you? You got to go, that's gonna change the world.
By this point in time, they would have already had the covert meeting in Luger's garage. I mean, Sting's garage.
Is that where it happened?
That's what Bischoff said.
So they went to Sting's garage or garage, the car hole. And John... I want Sting, Luger, and Bischoff in a car hole. I want Luger sat on a bike, propped up against the wall. I want Sting sat on the top of like a mini fridge, and I want Bischoff leaning awkwardly against like a trophy shelf,
a workbench,
or yeah, sat on a Black and Decker, all wearing face masks, so no one knows it's them.
See, for years I thought it was I always thought it was Car Hold, and I felt like it was Car Hole, which makes more sense because Mo is a bit uncouth.
A car hole.
He would call it a car hole.
I mean, I'm sure corroborate that. I might have got it wrong.
It's like Berenstain.
The Berenstain Bears.
Yeah, Berenstain Bears.
One other bit of news. It's a quite slow week in comparison to where we are going to go, because it's going to get very busy very soon. The tag team got a tryout in the WWF 2 days ago at a taping in Manchester, New Hampshire.
I know who it is. I know who it is.
Go on, then.
A Future Radical. Mm-hmm. And I don't know this person from much else outside of ECW, but at least one of them was a former trainee of Killer Kowalski's.
Uh-huh. You are spot on, my friend.
Harry Saturn and John Cronus, the Eliminators.
The Eliminators getting a little run out of Manchester, New Hampshire against Tim McNerney and Smooth Operator. They've heard conflicting reports of The Observer on how well they actually did that night. But I think they're a decent enough tag team. They'd have been brilliant at this point.
Well, I don't know how great they really were at this point, but they should have gotten a job.
Yeah.
But it's, if I remember hearing right, I think the click kind of made him change into like a different locker room at that show, and were kind of mean to him, and that's
really?
What I heard.
Well, that sucks.
Well, I don't know how true that is, but that was like something that made the rounds over the years. Could be hearsay.
Because I think like I love their work as a tag team, the Eliminators. I really do. And at this point in time, like WWF could do far worse They could do far worse than Perry Saturn and John Cronus.
Well, what would you rather hear? Total elimination or what a maneuver?
I want to hear both. What a maneuver!
Although in a month, they will end up in ECW, so...
They'll have something to do. That's fine. That's fine. Mm-hmm. That is the news this week. As I say, it's not a lot else really bouncing around this week, but from next week, it all gets very, very exciting and very spicy.
The calm before the storm.
This really is the calm before the storm. Oh, very excited about next week. But let's look on this week, because it's quite a monumental episode of Raw, as Justin Henry is about to tell us.
Well, monumental. That's why we started out with comma.
It's like we planned it.
See, a comma tends to then equal a pause in action. Well, that's kind of a metaphor for 95.
No.
So we see highlights from Superstars of him beating up one of the creatures of the night. Now, funnily enough, I was looking up because, you know, the longstanding myth that the creatures are actually Shane and Stephanie McMahon.
Oh, I love that story so much. So much.
One of the dumbest urban legends in history.
Yes.
Somewhere, apparently, it was claimed, and I can kind of see this, but I'm not 100% on it, that the male creature was a future WWE Tag Team Champion on two occasions. And I, for years, I did not recognize him. But yeah, once I saw this listed, and I looked closely at him, I'm like, maybe. Would you like to venture a guess? This person would have been an indie standout in the Midwest at this time. Maybe not a standout, but like someone who's kind of coming into his own. His WWE heyday, if you want to call it that, was like 03 to 05. I know, this might not even be him, but... I compared the faces, and I'm like, you know, maybe.
Go on, then. You'll have to tell me.
Doug Basham.
No!
I could see it in the eyes a little bit.
Really?
A little bit. I mean, he has hair. We used to see him bald with kayfabe brother Danny Basham.
I'm going to have to.
He would have been like an Indiana, Kentucky guy at this time. Working that independent scene.
Wowzers. Well, that's incredible.
I do see it in his face.
Yeah. You can see, yeah, I've typed in Doug Basham 1995 and it's thrown up the picture of one of the creatures of the night. That's amazing.
So
that flew under the radar, didn't it?
That is. And here he's supporting Undertaker. Eventually he'd support Taker enemy JBL.
Yikes, that's incredible.
If that is indeed true.
We'll have to speak to Doug Basham and see if we can get that corroborated.
Yeah, we'll try to find Doug, see what he's up to these days. And Doug was actually a pretty solid guy. He just never really got a fair shake in a time where, you know, a good technician like himself would have been, he'd been appreciated in a different time, I think.
I think yeah, he's one of those guys. Like, Doug and Danny are both very... like proficient wrestlers, like a lot of stuff they did in OVW was really strong.
Mm-hmm.
And they came to the main roster and they were just, I think they just got lost they'd lost in translation a little bit.
Well, first they were the bondage guys with Shaniqua.
Mm.
Then they were kind of just meandered for a bit after she left and then they became JBL's like cabinet members and they really had an identity. Mm. I think there was a story once about when Doug Basham still had hair in Ohio Valley. They were they're getting ready to call him and him up to the main roster, and they wanted him and Danny Basham Damage to be a brother team. So they wanted Doug to shave his head also. So without asking Cornette, they had Doug shave his head. Like this guy's like he's like one of the top guys in OVW at this time. So Doug shows up to the show bald, and Cornette, you know, flips his lid. He says, like, he's like a 40-year-old truck driver. What'd you make him do that for? You can't just pretend we'll be like if he had no hair. The reason why I hated Laurinaitis.
Oh,
You may have noticed
that's a very WWF OVW story where it's just like, we're doing this with them now. You just have to work around it.
You can't Photoshop? That's like, you may have noticed, but the lines of communication in this company are pretty bad.
They're awful. They're awful.
Lines of communication. Yes, they're really bad, baby. Anyway. So Kama beats up Basham the Creature. And so Undertaker's going to run the corporate gauntlet, so to speak. He's facing Tatanka tonight. And then Kama Sunday, so that's the gauntlet, I guess. Iris and Bundy are persona non grata. Volkov's long gone. This corporation has whittled down a lot.
It was never that strong to begin with, but now it is much, much weaker.
It's just DiBiase, Tatanka, and Kama now. Anyone even hire Henry Godwin, so how good can he really be? I mean, he's on a budget. Budget cuts, that's what it is.
It's always budget cuts with this bloody company.
Nick Khan told DiBiase, you don't need Nikolai.
I mean, that I'd agree with from Nick Khan.
How dare you?
One of the all-time greats.
Former tag team champion, how dare you? Show some respect. Anyway, Taker versus Tatanka tonight. We got a Taker promo. Talks about running the corporate gauntlet, basically. Tatanka tonight, Kama Sunday. And with that, we have our opening match. It's Men on a Mission versus Roy Raymond and Joe. He has three names. It's either Joe Hancock, Joe Adcock, or Joe Hanlock.
Why has he got three names?
Well, the McMahon kept calling him Adcock. I'm assuming Hancock is the correct one because they called him that also.
And the graphics and stuff say Hancock. So,
but it also says Hanlock on the History of WWE website. So I'm not sure who to believe anymore. Maybe he's like Homer J. Fong.
I always find it funny when Vince, like we was calling him Adlock. I always find it funny when Vince can't get the names right. Because I think you're the guy that's signing the checks. Like, if anyone should, I was hoping you would know who these people are.
He probably had like one of the Stooges pay off, you know, the enhancement guys. Either here's your 500 for the night. That's probably too much for them. Like, we get 500, really? What are we, kings?
Look, son, I'm a millionaire.
I just want to point out right now, for the first of four consecutive matches, somebody got jumped before the bell.
There's a lot of this tonight.
It was a theme.
I don't know whether there's just like whether you know there's some bad road agentery, damn it, D'Lo, or whether or not they're running out of time on a pre-taped show. It's hard to tell.
It's back jumping out here in Worcester. So Man on Mission jumps before the bell. Mabel gives an ad tuck, can lock, whatever his name is.
Hamhock.
Bunch of knee. He's about 47 straight knee lifts in the corner. That went on for a bit. And I couldn't figure out, why does Hancock have the letter S on his boots? Is he Sadcock?
Oh no, not another name. Shamcock.
Maybe this is Ken Shamrock in witness protection or something.
It's Ken Shamrock in witness protection.
Well, why would he need witness protection? Who's coming after Shamrock that he'd be afraid of?
I'm Mr. Hancock.
I'm Guy Incognito. Shamrock? Who is Shamrock? I cannot imagine that to save my life. But
it does smack off. When I saw the S, I thought it does smack off like the wrestlers going through the lost property bin again. There's a collection of just like random ring attire. You have to pick out which ones you're going to wear for the wrestling. Like, oh, these boots fit. They've got an S on it. Oh, it doesn't matter.
It's S for second place in this match. So now Stab Lock gets double teamed. And we learned that Sid gets a title. Sid's getting a shot at the Intercontinental Champion on September 11th, the first Raw, after the after the time away for tennis. Then Mabel stuns the world here by hitting a friggin' pile driver.
It didn't suit him. It sounds like a weird thing to say, but a pile driver doesn't suit Mabel.
Poor Joe Crunchneck.
Crunchhock. Crunchcock.
Poppycock.
Poppycock. Do you know, am I being harsh? You know, I just don't think a pile driver suits Mabel. Does it feel right? And like, it doesn't, it really showcase Mabel as a guy.
Well, it doesn't suit Push Brock either because he got crunched.
He crunched Brock.
it's just the way it is. So Draft Mott goes over and tags Roy Raymond. Raymond comes in. He gets cheered for attacking Mabel, but then gets his ass beat. Mo hits the Jerry Sags Memorial Diving Elbow on the Roy Raymond, which I mean, he kind of just throws his rib cage on his by wall, holding his elbow vaguely up in the air.
It's a nice bit of baby face fire, at least.
Yeah, Roy Raymond had a little pizzazz here. Meanwhile, X-Pac is trying to rally the crowd here. I probably should have said X-Pac because it rhymes with Hancock, but we have X-Pac coming up in the next match.
I was going to say, I was like, did you skip a bit? Because he's not out yet.
No. So Joe TikTok is rallying the fans. Mabel picks up Raymond Belly. The belly finishes him off. And that's the end of Roy Raymond and Joe Just Suck.
Joe. Oh, that's the worst one yet, Joe Jizz Sock. Bless.
Just don't put it on.
don't put it anywhere near your foot. Oh, no. What? Oh, no.
Oh, squish.
No.
From we got squashed to that got squished.
Squashcock. No. poor Joe Squashcock.
Sloppy Jock.
Oh, no.
Well, like, how many names does he have now?
I think we've now given him 32 names.
Still behind Ed Leslie.
He's still got a way to go, kid.
So Mabel takes the mic after the match. Says he and Mo were the greatest tag team ever.
Even better than Joe Glimglock.
Joe Warlock. So then... For some reason, they call out the Allied Powers. Boy, that's random. Aren't you wrestling Diesel on Sunday?
Yeah. This was very peculiar. This was a very strange setup by them to suddenly decide, you know what? We want to fight a tag team that's somewhere in the division.
It was either you or Well Done. We're not sure Well Done's even here anymore. So
we think Well Done are well gone. So we definitely know you're here. So we'll find. We're not sure what the tag team division's like at the moment, but we know you're here. So
why don't you face Roy Raymond and Joe Bedrock again?
Just keep fighting them forever.
Fight forever.
Fight for never.
So they want a tune-up match with the Allied Powers, and okay, we go to the report card, and it's here we learn the sad truth that Shane Douglas has had his has been locked out of his classroom. They changed the locks on him.
Yeah, this is sad that he's only been doing this thing a couple of weeks in the grand scheme of things. They've already put him in the cupboard.
Hey, 1 month's rent was due. So now he's in the control room. Keep your finger off the switch, done.
Keep your finger off the switch, dumb.
This is how we know this character was doomed. Shane Douglas tells the first wrestler who impressed him was Mabel. our word of the week is dominate. Because Mabel dominated in his match. And he creates Mabel NC for new champion. Okay.
The grading thing is so shit. Like, at least try and shoehorn in actual grades like A, B, C, D, E. Rather than just other letters. You could have given him A for a new champion, and it would have had a nice double meaning. But to give him NC, a new champion, is crap.
Let's give him a D for it. Does anyone know Luger's even signed or not?
Let's give him an E for, hey, has anybody seen the keys to my classroom? Because I'm stuck in the cupboard.
E for Eric got one over on Vince. Speaking of Vince, he's going on AOL tonight.
Yay! Oh, mate, next week. next week, you and I, we're gonna get together for SummerSlam, and we have the transcription of the Vince McMahon AOL chat. I can't wait to share this.
How many times did you raise your eyebrow reading this?
Many. Can we reveal here on the subject of SummerSlam, before we go any further into the show, can we reveal who is going to be joining us to watch SummerSlam 95 with us?
Yes, we can. It's someone whose writing style I've long admired, someone who's been in the internet reviewing game for decades now. I can say decades because it's past two decades, so that is multiple. He is Canada's finest. He's Scott Keith.
Way! Actually, I'm back in the office. So I've got me sound effects here. Scott Keith! Actual Scott Keith is joining us for the SummerSlam 95 watch along. That's so exciting.
Don't you forget about Scott Keith.
Oh, I've got to sing Don't You Forget About Keith, Scott Keith. I'll do it at the end so he doesn't leave early.
As a Canadian, he's quite polite, but you might terrify him with that.
Yeah, there's politeness to a fault. So I'll do it at the very end. So yeah, so Scott Keith is going to be joining us to watch SummerSlam 1995. I'm dead excited.
Scott is quite polite unless he's reviewing wrestling.
Then we're going to get the dark side, the true dark side of Scott Keith.
Few writers have made me laugh out loud as much as he has over the years, so I'm honored to have him on.
Amazing stuff. Amazing. But that's next week. That'll be our watch along for next week on the Classic Raw review.
What for the SummerSlam review, you mean?
The Classic SummerSlam watch along.
Because Taker versus Kama goes on a bit and we need something to indulge in.
Oh, we certainly do. We certainly do.
We reiterate that Sid's getting his IC title match in 3 weeks versus Shawn or Razor, depending on the SummerSlam outcome. Until then, speaking of the click, 1-2-3 Kid versus the Brooklyn Brawler. Brawler attacks before the bell.
Ding. Another one.
So Kid misses a springboard crossbody. And it's during this match that Vince gets in a little bit of a dig because this was the weekend. I'm not sure if you remember this or not, but Mike Tyson made his comeback fight, first fight back out of prison. He faced Peter Hurricane McNeely, who I believe was a 7-jillion-to-1 underdog.
So what happened for those who don't know?
If I recall correctly, Tyson knocked him down twice in the first round. He went knocked him down a third time, but then all the corner men ran in and caused a fracas, and the fight ended in a DQ win for Tyson. It was a farce.
And Vince is using this to push SummerSlam as like, hey, we'll give you excitement on pay-per-view, unlike Mike Tyson.
We'll never rip you off with a cheap main event. Gee, let's count the ways.
The audacity, the lion, the witch, the audacity of this bitch to tell us that he would never rip us off on pay-per-view.
This is the point as you stare at my face over the over Zoom here, where you hum the Jeopardy's think music while I think Super Showdown 2020, Hell in a Cell 2019, which I mean that was a lengthy match, but that was still crap. Survivor Series 16 had a 90-second main event. We can't blame Victory Road 2011 on him. That wasn't Vince's fault. But the important thing is there's been a lot of crap main events in pay-per-view history. There's one coming in 6 days.
Boom. Hooray! 6 days to go in the time of this.
You see, here's what happened, in my opinion. I think Diesel and Mabel was supposed to go a minute, but then Vince made a comment and goes, oh, shit. King, we need you to go 8 more minutes than we originally intended. You work on your cardio, right?
I wouldn't have been upset if Diesel and Mabel goes 1 minute. I know it doesn't, but I've not seen the match. But I know it doesn't go 1 minute.
And I think, like the McGregor Aldo fight. Mabel walks into a punch and knocks himself out.
You know, like the Lesnar Goldberg fight at Survivor Series, that was an explosive main event, and it was good that it was like hardly any time.
Oh, it was also surprising. So, speaking of minute-long match, we got Kid and Brawler here. This was short. Kid basically, he fights him underneath against Brawler because that's what Kid does. He gets a kick barrage in. The Oklahoma roll to finish Brawler off. And then, you talk about audacity. After the match, Lawler goes to his Magistrator, which is this little telestrator thing that John Madden popularized in the NFL. There you draw on the screen, you diagram stuff. He's drawing pimples on the kid's face. But then Vince uses, I kid you not, some sort of Stridex-related eraser tool to erase all the blemishes because Stridex is a sponsor for SummerSlam.
I mean, points for creativity here.
They worked a plug into the into the Telestrator segment.
Tip of the hat for how creative this bit was, but whoa, was it meaningless?
How soon is Nitro again?
Oh, it's a couple of weeks now. We're nearly there. Big shout as well to the power of the 1-2-3 kid during this match with the Brooklyn Brawler. Brooklyn Brawler hit the ground like from the air that escaped from a kick. Like kid whiffed him at one point, and Brawler hit the ground.
Yeah, kick. I think it was like the first spinning heel kick where he kind of just. If anything, if he paintbrushed Brawler, it wouldn't buy much.
Just he went flying off the back of a nothing.
Well, it happens. Kids, you know, being careful. I mean, you're throwing them kicks. You got to be careful how you swing your foot around.
That's true.
You don't want to concuss anybody here.
Wouldn't want to swing a foot at Barry Dudinsky, would you?
I wouldn't. First, we got Henry Godwin slapping DiBiase on last week's show. Just a little exposition for him later on, I guess. Then we get Barry the Dud plugging a shirt. However, this shirt actually looks kind of cool. It's this Undertaker shirt, but like he's building up out of like a pile of smoke. Not pile of smoke, but just a cloud of smoke. Yeah. He looks all demonic. It's this Undertaker like in cool retroized horror movie style font. On the back, it just says rest in peace in purple. It's kind of cool looking, actually.
These are very atypical wrestling t-shirts of the time. There was a guy who was in Worcester, where I'm from originally, and there was a clothes shop inside a fish market, and he had loads of t-shirts with the wrestling that looked like that. They weren't very official, but they all looked a bit like that, like big designs with the characters on the front and their stylized font with them as well. And I don't think they were official t-shirts, but they all looked a bit like that.
Did it have UK Taker on it?
Sadly not. I'd have bought it in a heartbeat if UK Taker was on there. I'd have been proud to own a UK Undertaker t-shirt.
I know, it's fake. Well, for one thing, that's Brian Lee on the shirt.
That'd be great.
Number two, he's dressed as chains.
That's just an Undertaker. It's just a guy working in a funeral parlor.
That's Undertaker in his personal life when he's Steve Undertaker.
It's a picture of Mark Calloway at the airport. Don't like it.
He's getting ready to go to back to school night at his kid's grade school.
It's a picture that someone's taken of Mark Calloway on his way to grade school for his kid's show, and he's halfway through a yawn. Put it on a t-shirt with Undertaker written in Times New Roman.
He's wearing a Grateful Dead hat and an REO Speedwagon t-shirt. But still, you know, he'll make you rest.
He's weirdly wearing a t-shirt with that design on.
It's a shirt of Taker wearing this shirt. It just goes on forever.
Shirtception. Shirts all the way. It's shit shirts all the way down.
So if you buy this shirt tonight, you not only get the shirt, but you also get a 3-month free magazine subscription and some Stridex. Boy, do they know their audience.
Christ. Hey, you spotty bastards. Buy a wrestling shirt and some stuff for your horrible face.
But buy a wrestling shirt, some magazines, and then some stuff for your acne. This is the one time they truly knew their audience.
They really, really did.
I'm picturing Barry Dudinsky selling shirts like a Game Changer show. You get free Paps with it.
He knows his audience, does the dud.
Or White Claws.
Get a White Claw with your wrestling shirt. Yeah, dirty.
A 3-month supply.
You dirty wrestling fan.
So, Undertaker versus Tatanka in a match that many a kid played on Super NES for Royal Rumble.
You're very limited in roster. That's probably why.
Oh, yes. Tigger attacks before the bell.
Of course he does. I thought this was the wrong way around.
Well, no, because he's pissed because he's trying to destroy the corporation.
I suppose.
So, Tigger attacks. He's all fired up early on. He's actually very energetic in the early going here. He beats the Tonka around, and then he hits the Tonka with school, not old school because he's still like 30 here.
So it's
just school at this point. Then Tigger intimidates Earl, practices Earl was selling his new shirts out of his store without authorization. But then Tatanka turns the tide by hitting his end of the trail off of an Irish whip reversal. It's kind of sloppy looking, but it does the trick. Doesn't go for the cover though. You know, that's supposed to be his finisher.
Maybe it's like he knows like he needs to do more to keep the Undertaker at bay.
No, that's true. I mean, he once levitated out of a casket, so I guess anything's possible.
A jumped up Samoan drop ain't gonna get the job done tonight, Tatanka.
Lawler gets in two pop culture references during this match that are very timely. One, he brings up Shannon Faulkner, which for those of you who don't know, she was the first female recruit at the Citadel who went through the same rigorous, hellish training program as the men did, and the men who were there made her life even more hell just for being the one woman there, and she dropped out very early on. I don't know a whole lot more than that, but that was a big story in 95. And the other was the death of Jerry Garcia of the Grateful Dead.
Because he's talking about the Undertaker and like he's talking about the Undertaker dying, isn't he? And saying, "Hey, you can meet Jerry Garcia."
Yeah. Although there was a funny line here, which I admit I did chuckle at. He said the first thing Jerry Garcia did, we got the head when we saw Elvis. And says, "Hey, Elvis, guess who your daughter married?" that was pretty funny.
That was good. That was very good.
More of an adult joke, but. More of a grown-up's joke.
It's one of those jokes that I think the adults would get. It wasn't, and it didn't exist long enough in the air to offend the kids.
The kids might not even know who the eldest daughter was, Lisa Marie, who, of course, married Michael Jackson in 94, 95.
Mm-hmm.
So it is what it is. Tatanka punches for a while. This goes on way too long. Tigger should have just devoured Tatanka in like 2 minutes. Honestly,
I'm surprised Tatanka got as much in as he did on The Undertaker.
Well, I question maybe Tatanka was one of the BSKs, but he wasn't. I thought maybe that'd be a reason why he might get so much offense in.
No, he wasn't.
But no, I don't believe he was. Now, he'll give 20 minutes of offense too. In fact, he will at SummerSlam, so get ready.
Undertaker's very giving to Karma, and when you realize later on that they're part of the same gang, that's why.
Well, yeah, he takes care of his friends. So eventually Taker just has enough of this. This goes to a commercial break for reasons. And hang on 1 second, just take care of some business here on this messaging someone the news video from this morning.
Oh. Taking care of business. Put the intermission in here, Tom.
So, it's during this match, so who really cares? Tigger comes back, chokeslam tombstone, that's the end of Tatanka.
Now, I will say, it was too long, but this match was actually more entertaining than I thought it would be.
What expectations did you have for it in the first place?
Very low. Very low. Like, I thought this would be a rough watch. I don't really trust Tatanka to have that belter of a match these days. And I didn't know which Undertaker we're going to get tonight. But it was surprisingly enjoyable.
Well, I mean, I guess maybe it should have been since both of them were on SmackDown in 2006.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I don't want to see this match. I didn't want to see that match in 06. So did not want to see that match in 06.
But you're 11 years younger here, so it should be better.
Yeah, you'd have thought so. It was fine. It was fine, though. I quite enjoyed it. I thought it was rather enjoyable.
I think my favorite Tatanka moment ever is when he was Matt Hardy's mystery partner at No Way Out 2006. Everyone thought it was going to be Jeff coming back to the company. And then you hear Tatanka's war chant start of Hardy's song, the crowd just completely dead.
Do we have a list on the Cultaholic channel of the 10 worst reveals for mystery partners.
Or the top two are Savio and that.
Savio and Tatanka. There has to be more.
I got to think. That could be a project for a future day.
I think that has to be a project for a future day.
Tom, it is time for the last time, the SummerSlam Insider.
No! I'm fine with it.
So, they better make this count. They better make this count. Todd's got a weird grayish-looking jacket on. Looks like he's a blacksmith out on the town.
it's a weird sort of shirt, jacket, shacket combination going on there.
Shacket?
Shacket. Ross is the proud owner of several shacket.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
It's like Whip It, but with Shaquille O'Neal. Something comes along, you must shack it.
Shack it good.
Well, that sounds like something different then.
Perfect.
So for SummerSlam, we got Diesel versus Mabel. We got Shawn versus Razor. We see the footage from last week with the show ending stuff where Shawn and Razor got into it over the belt. The legendary Bret the Hitman Hart's gonna face Isaac Yankum. We get an answer machine bit for Yankum from his office. Like you have reached the office of Dr. Isaac Yankum. He is not in this weekend because he's wrestling at SummerSlam or whatever. If you have a problem, you know, root canal, teeth extraction, whatever, then just come in next week and this is a filler bit.
Yeah, they're padding here. That was all right, though.
But then Hart has to dignify this match with a dental-related promo. So that 5 out of 5 dentists recommended I kick your ass at SummerSlam.
I didn't mind Brett's promo here. It was a little bit cheesy.
And four out of 10 doctors like Hunter's match. See what I did there?
I see what you did there.
Then Todd throws it to a mental emission promo as I realized they only plugged 3 matches on the go-home show. This is a 9-match card.
So there's, but they're beefy matches that they've plugged. They're your main ones.
But still, I mean, don't you want to run down? It's like, what I think happened was like Vince Central telling about Horowitz and Skip and Kid and Hakushi and Holly versus Hunter's like, nah, I don't want him to lose faith.
I think it's the whole reason that we've had that Razor-Shawn ladder match added is because the company were very concerned how light this card was. So I guess the idea is that let's just highlight the really big stuff and let's not emphasize that Barry Horowitz is at SummerSlam.
Let's hide the Dennis who's never wrestled for us before.
No, let's not hide Isaac Yankum, DDS, Jerry the King Lawler's personal monster of a dentist.
We'll soon learn that Yankum's from Decatur, Illinois, so why is a guy from Memphis, Tennessee going to see a dentist in Decatur, Illinois?
There's something suspect about that, I reckon.
The dentist I see is in my hometown.
Maybe.
5-minute drive.
Maybe Lawler has just... Has got a mistress in Illinois at this point.
Perhaps.
That's got to be the only way. He's got a mistress.
I mean, it is every 6 months for a cleaning, so you know, you can
Maybe.
So Mental Emission calls out the Allied Powers again. We're reiterating that. And yeah, that's all they're going to plug for SummerSlam.
Think about this, right? Just to quickly nip back to it. Isaac Yankum DDS is from Decatur, Illinois. So somebody would have, this is pre-Google Maps. This is really like early days of the internet. But somebody would have had to go through a map, like a big fold-out map, to find somewhere dentist or tooth-related from the entire of the United States to use as a hometown. Commitment. Well,
there is a Decatur, Georgia, which is somewhat known. But maybe someone just thought of that, like decay. It's like, I was like, I guess fluoride Montana wasn't an option.
I guess bad teeth Missouri is too on the button.
From the Panama Canal.
Oh, nice.
No, it's not.
From Overbite, New Jersey.
From Gingivitis, Michigan.
I feel like there is a place called Gingivitis, Michigan.
There has to be.
Yes. I'm from Gingivitis, Michigan.
So just to this show here, we have a little skit here coming up called TV Trivia.
Right. You're going to have to... Right. Now, this guy who hosts it, do you know who he is? Is he a thing?
He was with the company for a little bit. He appeared in like game show related skits for the company. He may have had like an office job of some sort, but I have no idea who he is.
Because he looked like UK politician Nigel Farage, but with curly hair. It's very strange.
Maybe it was him.
Do you know what? It could have been. But this was this was an odd arrangement. This skit was.
Oh, wait a minute. Someone tried to say that was actually Kerwin Silfies.
No.
Look it up now.
I mean, he was gone by
could
this
really
point.
Have been the same
it?
Person? I'm looking at a photo of Kerwin. I see the similarity. Maybe that is him.
Surely he was gone by that point.
No, Kerwin was he was there up until last year.
Oh.
He lasted long enough for Kerwin White to be a rib on his name.
I've just Googled Kerwin Silfies myself here. And there is a photo of a future Echo for us with a guy on Monday Night Raw called Wink Collins.
That is him.
And it's the same jacket.
Yeah, Wink Collins appeared later on. I'm not entirely sure if Wink and Kerwin are the same guy. Could be. Might not be.
Who knows?
Yeah, I'm putting way too much thought into this. And I'm going to forget about it in like 3 minutes. So it's TV trivia. He's hosting this bit with two contestants. One is George from Adam and George, and the other is a guy who looks like former NFL announcer Paul McGuire. You have no idea who that is, but just play along. It's all about self-promotion. Like, what show has award-winning broadcasters on it? 60 Minutes, you're wrong. Monday Night Raw, you're right!
And it's Slammy award-winning.
It's just a circle jerk segment. Like, where can you watch Raw? Like, it's the big premiere of Raw, September 11th. And yeah, they put down football a little bit in the segment, but yet they played a Monday Football theme for it at the end.
It's just, they aim at football a few times, and I noticed that with this, like, why take aim? Like, there is such a chip on the shoulder of the company at the moment, and it's all Vince, like from slagging off Tyson to as you say, playing the football theme there, and it's like, just focus on doing what you're doing.
No,
you wish you would.
You're a little insecure, don't you think?
Oh, very much so.
Maybe we'll send them some more resources. We'll fire some more people.
Send them a few more assets. Here you go.
Yes. Boy, that was that's good for morale to say. Speaking of assets, here's two talented ones. I never got two guys who could have done more in this company, I think. Jean-Pierre Lafitte versus Scott Taylor.
Scott Taylor is brilliant in this match. I'd like to.
Yes, he is.
He is so crisp and he's so quick. I love him here.
Ever reliable.
Yeah.
So now we're 4-for-4 in pre-match attacks as the Pirate jumps Scotty too hottie before the match. Taylor gets in some token offense, some drop kicks, gets a crossbody for two.
Beautiful crossbody.
Indeed it was. Call the hotline to find out why Ernie Ladd is hanging out with men on the mission.
No, I won't.
Do you remember the scene from The Simpsons from the Bobo episode where Burns trying to make an offer for Bobo? Remember, and trying to keep Homer from calling him back? The pause, and then Homer just suddenly dives for the phone. They all try to jump on him. Like, who in America is acting that out? Like, Ernie Ladd, man on mission? And then they just dive for the phone. Trying to hold his arm back. Must find out. Don't have Observer subscription.
Do we know why they were in the end?
No.
No, it's probably nothing. They were probably like, I can imagine it was just, oh, they're getting tips for fighting Diesel from Ernie Ladd because he's the big cat.
No, they were asking him about the time he did commentary in Mid-South. What was Boyd Pierce really like? So Lafitte takes over the match as the contracted guy does. Gets some rope trap splashes on Taylor, which are actually a nice little maneuver there. Pulls Taylor to the middle of the ring, puts the pirate flag over him because you have to have one for cliche reasons. Mm-hmm. Sort of hits the cannonball to win. I think he hit Taylor in the thighs with it on the way down. May have grazed it a bit, but that's not the pin the future Scotty Too Hottie. He squashed the worm.
Oh, I see what you did there.
That's an enjoyable little squash, though.
That was a great match. That was probably my favorite match of the night so far.
I will say the cool thing Lafitte does is the gesture he does before the cannonball, where he actually slashes your chest and tears your heart right out. That I love.
So what, before he goes up to the top rope?
Yeah. He makes like an X with his hand and as he's like slashing you, and then he reaches down and tears your heart out.
Pulls his hand back quick. That's nice. That's nice. It never really occurred to me what that was. Like when I watched that through, I thought, oh, he's just like throwing his hand to the ground, like, ah, I'm gonna finish you.
Of course the innocent version could be that he's tearing like jewelry off of you for his own keeping or whatever.
No, I prefer tearing your heart out.
Yeah. Like Kano.
God. He's cool. He's so cool as Jean-Pierre Lafitte.
Jean-Pierre Lafitte rules.
He's just great. If you were watching that match as a road agent backstage, you think there's two guys there that we could probably have some fun with. Mm. You'd have thought.
I bet PCO versus Scott Taylor, they'd be a lot of fun.
I bet that'd still be a belter. I bet they'd still go for it.
Mm-hmm. I agree 100%. Speaking of guys who are still good today, that brings us to Goldust. And another vignette where he's in front of the Hollywood letters. This time he's mic'd a lot better.
A shorter one as well.
Mm-hmm. Calls out Shawn Michaels, promises there'll be a permanent vacancy in the Heartbreak Hotel. And then he quotes Schwarzenegger a bit. And that's pretty much that. Just quick and to the point.
Yeah, I liked. I'm really up for seeing what Goldust does. Like, this is selling me on a really bespoke character within WWF.
Oh yeah.
At this point.
A lot of intrigue here. Like you kind of knew what he was, but you weren't really sure what he was. Mm. And it didn't spell it completely out for you. It left you wanting to know a little bit more.
It's great.
So then we cut back to ringside where Lawler tells us that the internet lit up at Goldust, which is one of the first times we hear internet on WF TV. And tells us that in Vince's chat tonight, you can ask him questions about Goldust. I want to know what questions got filtered out about Goldust from 1995.
They wouldn't have been pleasant. Fans. They would not have been pleasant.
I'm sure that had to be a... Whoever the screener was had a busy night that night. I'm sure it was traumatic.
Oh, jeebus.
So we get a Diesel interview. Vince is in the ring with him. They're here to put his boy over. Diesel, to his credit, he does get cheered a lot by the Worcester fans in hour two of this taping, so they are treating him like a star.
Can we appreciate Vince McMahon's look for a second on this particular bit?
refresh me a bit.
Okay, so Vinnie Mac, he's stood in the ring. He's got a grey jacket on with a sewn-on Monday Night Raw logo onto the pocket. And he's got I'm not sure. I can't remember if it was a red bow tie or a red just tie. There's like a red collar around his black shirt. It's a very unique look. It's a very 90s look.
Vince made a lot of sartorial statements in his day.
He did, didn't he? And it's a big jacket, so of course he looks massive, which is always the point, right?
The shoulder pads. The
big shoulder pads. The beefy shoulder pads.
It's that Vince energy.
Big dick energy. So big tiny diesel dick energy.
So Diesel tells us that maybe I can't jackknife Mabel, but maybe I can.
Oh, you're teasing it.
Spoiler, he doesn't.
No. I can't even visualize that.
Well, oddly enough, he probably wasn't going to do it anyway, but there's a spot in the match that's going to make it harder for him to even attempt, even think about doing that.
Oh, no.
We'll cross that bridge on Sunday.
I feel like it's going to be... Yeah, you've played WWF No Mercy, haven't you?
Only a couple of times because I never had an N64.
Fair enough. Well, when you play WWF No Mercy, if you're a lighter weight wrestler and you're in there with a super heavyweight wrestler, you only have a limited number of moves you can actually do all of a sudden. Like all your regular hard grapples are replaced by an attempt to body slam.
SmackDown, Here Comes the Pain is the same way.
Yeah, there you go. So... I feel like it's just going to be all just attempts to body slam.
Let me just say that game, playing as Goldberg versus Lesnar against any cruiserweight, was just hours of fun. Just the bone-crunching sound effects were the best. Whoever the Foley artist was in that game was a genius. You punch Hurricane in the head, it sounded like someone crushes like a steel car. Loved it.
Good
so anyway,
show.
These are the... We didn't get this edited shot where Diesel's now staring down the barrel of the camera, looking really creepy, like he's looking down at you. Like it's like as though you're in the trunk of the car in Goodfellas and you're still alive and there's De Niro, Pesci, and Ray Liotta looking down at you.
This is just typical WWF camera work to make a guy look even taller. Move the camera beneath them so they look larger than life.
Well, it can't be WWF because there wasn't 70 camera cuts while this was going on.
That's true. Dunn was very calm during this.
Crowd, Diesel, Vince, Diesel, crowd, camera, Diesel, Lawler. And spilled beer, Diesel. So, Diesel just goes on about he's going to beat Mabel on Sunday, but then out comes the British Bulldog for some reason.
Hey! Kai, Vae, lorry man, I want a word with you.
Hey, truck man,
I want a word with you. Kingman and his and little Kingman have been gobbing off.
I wish that's what he said. I want British Bulldog Mad Libs. That could be hours of fun. So Bulldog comes out, says Luger had a medical emergency in Atlanta.
Yeah, he had a broken wallet. He's off to sort it in Atlanta.
He's having his morale fixed.
He's having his ego smoothed.
So he says, "Mel, Mission want to face me, and I need a partner, and I know all about partners, and I'm gonna win the partner rumble because I'm bizarre." Actually, what he says is, he has Diesel to team with him in this tune-up match against Mel and Mission, and Diesel like, sure, I get paid extra for working, and he doesn't say that. But he agrees to this match. Him and Bulldog are going to face Men on a Mission. Impromptu match right here, right now.
Hey, it's your main event of the evening.
Yeah. So out comes Men on a Mission. We have this match. Begins with Diesel kicking Moe's ass pretty handily, as it should be. He is the champion after all, and Moe is the sidekick. So this goes on for a bit. Diesel just decimates Moe. Then finally Mabel just steps in. Him and Diesel square off. Then Bulldog jumps in and clotheslines Diesel from behind, knocks him right into Mabel into a sidewalk slam.
What?
Oh, yes. Let me tell you something. When I was 11 years old, this shocked the hell out of me because Bulldog had never been a heel before.
I get to do something here that 11-year-old Justin won't like. But it's something that we do on the classic SmackDown review whenever Triple H has a very over the top setup turn on an evening. So we start the night with men on a mission randomly calling out the Allied Powers. Mm-hmm. Bulldog coming out saying, "Lucas Pauly, he's got a medical thing. Diesel, be my partner." Diesel batters Mo for ages. And just as Mabel's about to get a piece, Bulldog turns heel. Sing along with me if you know it. It was a setup all along. Wah, oh. Wah, wah.
I mean, if I watched this for the first time in my 30s, I would have like, okay, this is a setup. When I was 11, I was a little bit more of a mark.
Oh, we all were, mate. We absolutely all were. But you know what? Gutted for Mo, right? Who was obviously in on this, but they said, right, Mo, you've got to take a shoe in from Diesel for about 5 minutes first. Well, Bulldog, can you not just attack him immediately and stop me getting beat up?
I'm sure he was paid nicely for, wait, this is 95. I'm sure he was paid something to take the beating.
No, listen, little King Man, I can't attack you. I can't get involved until Big King Man's in. Well, let's just tag him in first. No, you've got to start. Well, if I tag Mabel in first, we just get straight on with it and I don't get hurt. No, you've got to get beaten up for a bit.
It'll be easier if Truckman's worn down first from kicking your ass.
Yeah, it's easy if Truckman's tired from beating you up. God. Poor Mo. I'd be livid.
Also, it had to be the odd Mo out. So, Diesel, at this point, Cornette comes back or comes out for unexplained reasons at this moment. Diesel tries fighting back. Bulldog power slams him. Mabel gives him the Hawkbuster leg drop. See, I wish this had meant that Bulldog was joining Men on a Mission. To replace Oscar to wrap him to the ring.
Big shout as Cornette comes out. And they Mabel is like punching down on Diesel. Bulldog and Mabel have a moment that just makes me die. It makes me die because I've had interactions like this. Where, like, Mabel hugs Bulldog, and then Mabel goes to leave, but Bulldog kind of pulls him back in for another hug. Mabel's not sure what to do. And then eventually, Bulldog awkwardly leaps into Mabel's arms.
Was that the ending of An Officer and a Gentleman?
It felt like the ending of An Awful and a Gentleman. It was, oh God, it made every part of my body cringe. It was so bad.
It was touching though.
It was a lot of touching going on.
Come on. Bulldog could have been on a mission. Can you imagine Bulldog in like the baggy purple pants?
Oh, John! Bulldog on a mission. Men man. I'm a men man. So potentially here there is a faction that features Mabel, Mo, Jim Cornette and British Bulldog and Jerry Lawler. Like, this is a much better faction than the Million Dollar Corporation.
This is like when Vince just sends five guys to USWA to do whatever Lawler wants to do that week.
Yeah.
I guess you're doing your interpromotional bullshit. Just send them down. It's like, who do you want? We got the guy with the guitar. Do you want him? No? Okay. How about the pirate guy? You want him? Like, okay.
Guitar man.
Where's Perfect? Oh, that's right. He left. Just pick whoever you want. Just make sure they're back by Monday. Ship them back if you have to. So Mabel poses with the belt. And Vince yells, "This had to be well thought out."
How wrong you are.
I like how Vince is angry and accusing when something is well thought out. Because clearly, the past few years have shown us anything. His product is the antithesis of well thought out. So to go backstage, Lawler is interviewing the heel contingent. Mabel still has the belt. Bulldog Cornette says surprises will keep coming. Oh, yeah, just wait 2 weeks to watch Nitro. Mabel vows to win at SummerSlam. One last plug for Sid versus whoever. And that's your show.
I like the bit where Mabel ruffles Bulldog's hair like he is a dog. Good dog. What a good boy. Thank you, King Man. Can I have a biscuit now? Yes, you can.
So that was a hell of a go home show for SummerSlam.
I'm ready for SummerSlam. My body is ready for SummerSlam 1995.
Just a little spoiler for everyone ahead of time. When we get to Diesel versus Mabel, that match will feature the greatest thing that I've ever seen Lex Luger involved in. And I may blow out your speakers and your earbuds when you hear me laughing at that spot.
I cannot wait. I cannot wait. And we are next time together. Next time we are together, we are doing a watch-along special of SummerSlam 1995. It is myself. It is Justin Henry from Off of America. And it's only flipping Scott Keith, legendary wrestling writer Scott Keith, joining us. Don't you forget about Keith. We're going to watch the worst SummerSlam in history from one of the worst years.
No, it's not.
Is it not?
This is a good SummerSlam.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, well, the worst main event in SummerSlam history. How's that?
Next year's is the worst SummerSlam in history.
All right. Well, the penultimate worst SummerSlam in history.
This was a solid B-minus show, damn it.
Oh, well, you know what? We'll B-minus it together next week. a classic Raw Review watch-along special. And until we are back together next week, he is at JRH Writing on Twitter. I am at Tom Campbell on Twitter. Together, we are at Cultaholic on Twitter. Don't forget to join us. Wink Collins did nothing wrong. Love you. Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
For all the wrestling headlines in just 10 minutes, search Cultaholic Wrestling News on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.